Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday, August 29th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Snap Lock Chicken Coops, the American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double-wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. the removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. SnapLock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. So spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit SnapLockChickenCoops.com. Also available at MyPetChicken.com, Critter-Cages.com, and ChickensForBackyards.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is it's Wednesday, it is hump day, we're halfway through the week, so we thank you very much for joining us. Like we always say, if you can join us daily here at noon Eastern, not only will your day go by faster, but your week will go by faster too, and next thing you know, it's going to be Fun Friday. And I've got some good news. There will be a Fun Friday this week, God willing. We will not be heading up to Nashville tomorrow, as we were planning to. I had finally got into contact with them yesterday, and I had a really, really good phone conversation with my contact there, and I just kind of laid it out all on the line, and they are very interested in a partnership. You know, y'all know we already work together, already make videos for them and for their website for Chick Days and whatnot. We've been, you know, associated with TSC for, holy cow, at least 2 years, maybe three. So, but we were requesting that they step up to the premier sponsorship level, and they are very interested in that and doing many other things, which kind of caught me off guard. They're aware and they want to hear about everything we can offer, but they also want to sit down and cover new and different ideas that they their marketing team is interested in doing with Chicken Whisperer. So very impressed and excited about that conversation yesterday. So they're not quite prepared for this Friday. In fact, it's the Friday before a holiday weekend, so a couple of the key players and decision makers were not going to be in the office, so I didn't want to waste my time and money on a trip up there if the decision makers weren't going to be there. So we are going to follow up with a conference call with everybody. We're going to cover a few things and cover a few ideas, and then I'll be making the trip up there to Nashville. So all my Nashville friends, I'll be getting up that way soon enough, and I will keep you posted on when we'll be get up that way. We'll go out and have a good, fun chicken event because I do got a lot of friends and fans up in the Nashville area. So that looks promising. And I told him yesterday, I was very straight up with him. I said, you know, let me know, you know, what level of interest you're at, because if you're not, I got somebody that's ready to step up and do the premier sponsorship. And but we both feel that it would be better for all of my sponsors if you were interested to step up, and then they'll step up at the standard level. So either way, it's a win-win. But I think Tractor Supply will be a win-win for most all of our sponsors. They carry a lot of their products, and I think it'll be a win-win for everybody. So I'm looking forward to that. And nonetheless, here in the next couple of weeks, I've got to start making some videos, eight more for Tractor Supply for their 2013 Chick Days event. So I've got to get that rolling as well. And yes, today is our 700th episode. So I'm very excited about that as well. And you can tell my voice is a little bit different today. Yesterday afternoon, started getting a little scratchy, started feeling a little under the weather. Jen as well, she was very tired, achy, headache, and a drainage in her throat as well. And so I thought, oh, great, we're probably going to get something. And then, of course, I don't know about you, but I always track back. Where have I been where I could have caught something? How many hands did I shake at church? You know, did I go out to eat where the glasses may not have been clean, or the forks? Or I go through, like, where could I have caught this? But it's not, it's just that. It's not really a lot of congestion. It's not a lot of aches and pains. It's not debilitating. It's just a little, and it's probably sinuses because I took a couple of Benadryls yesterday. I just popped one now. So if I start dozing during the show, you'll know why. I'm sucking on a horrible Hall's cough drop. I know they're horrible and so bad for you, but the spearmint ones I can tolerate, and it just helps when the amount of talking I do on the radio show. But I'm feeling better. But so I thank you for all the well wishes there on Facebook last night when I posted we were under the weather and going to bed. So do feel better than yesterday, but still have that little bit of scratchiness. But it's not like a sore throat scratchiness. It's the kind of, anyway. So it's just feels like just something's back there, a little drainage from maybe the fall allergies that are coming into play. So but we appreciate you tuning in. It is our 700th episode today. Actually, to be honest with you, we've done, I don't want to say well over 700 episodes, but we have done over 700 episodes. When we started on AM radio in Atlanta, we did that for about 6 months, one show every week, Saturday morning at 9, and I don't include those right now. And then there are shows that we've done on BTR out of New York that I have deleted. Like if it was an on-site show and the sound was just deplorable and horrible, then I deleted it. So for all practical purposes, at least as far as the archive count, this is show number 700. And I'm very, very thankful to have 700 shows. People ask me, did you ever dream? No, never dream, never plan, just happen, amazing. All this Chicken Whisperer stuff just kind of was really developed by the media and ideas that have come along the way, and with the book and the radio show and the tour and all this stuff and the meetup groups. It's been truly, truly amazing. And so it's pardon me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. Today, again, is episode 700, and I look forward to episode 1000 when we get to that point, and I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe we'll have some just huge celebration somewhere and broadcast live on location and have all of our fans come and join us. That'll be really a hoot for episode 1000. Let me put that in relationship for you. Let me put that in perspective, okay? I did some research yesterday, though I'm not a big TV fan and don't own a TV, but I just wanted to look up some things to see where we ranked as far as 700 episodes. And many of you are familiar with the TV show Friends that was on for about a decade. Well, the Friends, that show Friends on TV, had, I believe it was like 235, 231 episodes. 231 episodes of Friends. Those are 30-minute TV shows. Okay, our show is anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours, and it's every day of the week. So just to give you some perspective, Andy Griffith, yep, everybody remembers the Andy Griffith Show. How cool is that? 251 episodes of Andy Griffith were ever made. And so here we're at 700 episodes of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Just to put it in perspective of how exciting this is for me, when I look at some of those ever-so-popular, world-renowned TV shows that have 250 episodes, and we're at 700 episodes, and our shows sometimes run 2 hours, mostly on average an hour and a half. So I'm very proud of that. And why are we hitting 700 episodes? And it all boils down to you, our listeners, our live listeners, the listeners that listen to the archive, and our fans on Facebook, our fans on Twitter, because without you, our fans, nobody would actually want to advertise. And so without advertisement, then I would be doing this just pretty much for free and have to do full-time job something else. But this has been my full-time job since April 2008. So over 4 years now, Chicken Whisperer, Inc. has been my full-time job. I'm very blessed to have a job that I love, where I get to meet wonderful, wonderful people. And I get to spend a lot of time with my family as well. It's a hard work, but again, it does give me that and afford me that opportunity to watch my son grow up into the little boy that he is growing up into. So very glad to have that opportunity as well, and thank God for the opportunity. But it really boils down to the listeners. It was about 2 years ago when we got coverage in the Wall Street Journal, and they wouldn't just, I was impressed, they wouldn't just print my word for it. They actually investigated and did come up and confirm that the radio show has a reach of about 25,000 listeners. So we're very thankful to all of you, whether you listen live or to the archives on iTunes or podcast.com, zoom.com, whatever the case may be. So I just want to thank you listeners, because without you, we wouldn't have the awesome sponsors that we've got. And in our fourth year of broadcasting, if I count in my mind, we've lost only about 3 sponsors in over 4 years, so we feel like we're doing something right. We've got the Who's Who and Backyard Poultry across the country that join us every week. We're very proud of that, And just, again, we thank you very much as we enter here the 700th episode today. And we've got a great episode for everybody today. It is Small Business Wednesday. And just like Chicken Whisper Inc., small business here in America, we've got a Small Business Wednesday episode today with the Fam Farm. And they're going to be joining us here in a few minutes, telling us all about their little homestead, what they have on their small portion of land that they've got, what they're doing with it, how they're making money with it, how they're marketing it, and all their great products that they have that are homemade, all natural, made right there at their homestead. And we also have a great, great deal for everybody that's listening. And we'll post it on Facebook for our Facebook fans a little bit later, based on after you listen and you want to support this small business and you need some things anyway. We'll have a great deal about how you can save some money and get a great deal on some great all-natural products that you probably use anyway around the house. We've got that going on here in a little bit. So I'm not sure. I can't tell you, since I was planning on going out of town, who our guest will be tomorrow or Friday. But Friday is going to be a fun Friday. You know you love fun Fridays. We do some type of trivia. We give away a lot of prizes. We have Battle of the Sexes. Who's going to win, male or female? So Friday is a really time to just sit back and relax. We've done all this educational stuff throughout the week, and Friday's a time to sit back and relax. But I'll have a good guest tomorrow. And we'll have a fun Friday, not on Thursday, but we'll have a fun Friday that's coming up Friday. Tomorrow I will have a guest here that will educate us on our passion of backyard poultry, or show poultry, sustainable living, farming, gardening. That'll be tomorrow's show right here, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't believe Pat's joining us today. I think she joined us Monday and Tuesday. I think today she is in the pharmacy saving lives, and we appreciate her coming on when she can as co-host of the radio show for many, many years now. So we thank her for coming on as well. I'm sorry she's not here to celebrate our 700th episode, but maybe she'll be she can join us for our 1,000th episode. Episode 1,000. Definitely looking forward to that. So let me tell you a little bit about next week's show, just to get you excited about that, because we're going to be giving away a chicken coop next week. Yep. So it looks like Monday the 3rd, we're going to take Monday off. It is a holiday. So Monday we will take the day off for Labor Day. And then Tuesday, I think we'll have Peter Brown on, that Tuesday the 4th, instead of Monday, since we're off Monday. We'll see if Peter can come on Tuesday. So Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown on Tuesday the 4th. Wednesday will be Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Thursday will be Bridget McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, on Thursday the 6th. And then another fun Friday on that Friday the 7th. In fact, that morning is our first doctor's appointment with Jen's OBGYN here, down since we moved to the farmstead and found out she was expecting. So that'll be on the 7th, but I anticipate getting back in time to broadcast live on September the 7th, Friday. That's when we're going to be giving away an awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com. And you remember, the winner gets to choose from a choice of three. They've got the salt box, they've got the four square, and they've got the bungalow. Those three coops, the winner will be able to choose whichever one they like best, whichever one they will actually meet their needs best. And that's been going on now for about 30 days, and it's an awesome, awesome contest. We give away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, bar none. Factual information, and we're proud of that because of our sponsors, and they're here because of you, our listeners. So let's reward you by giving you an opportunity to win this awesome brand new chicken coop valued at about $550 shipped to your front door. Now let me tell you real quick how to enter, in case we have some first time listeners or maybe some first time folks that are listening to the archive later today. Very simple. All you have to do to enter is send me an email. The email is your entry form, okay? And you send that email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay? That's contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay? In the subject line of the email, I want you to put chicken coop contest. That's very simple. In the email itself, we're going to need your name, your shipping address, and your phone number. Those three things, your name, your shipping address, and your phone number, type that in the email itself, okay? And it seems like everybody puts in little messages, hey, how you doing? Love the show. Thanks for the opportunity. Da-da-da-da. Pick me, pick me, pick me. So it's funny. You could put that kind of stuff in there as well, but definitely have to, at a minimum, have your name, shipping address, and phone number. And then Friday the 7th of September, I'm going to be calling the winner live on the show. You do not have to be listening live to win, okay? If I call the winner live and I get their voicemail or they don't pick up, that's fine. They're still going to win. I'll just send them an email. We'll post the winner on Facebook and on Twitter and that type of thing. And then maybe we'll have them on the show or schedule them to have on a show a little bit later. Maybe once they receive the coupe and they have it set up, we'll have them live on the show and schedule them to come on and tell us how they like the coupe and whatnot. But hopefully it's always fun if we can get in contact with them live on the show when they pick up the phone and they're live and I'm like, you've just won a brand new chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com and the Chicken Whisperer. And then they get all excited and they start crying and, oh, I never win anything. And it's always so fun. We've had plenty of those in the past. So so we'll do that again on the 7th. And we'll just keep our fingers crossed that whoever wins. And it's random drawing. For example, if I have 3,253 entries, then I go to, I think it's called random.org, and it's a website where you just put in a number from 1 to 3,253 and then hit pick, and then it just throws out a random number. That's exactly how it's going to do it. It's not a, hey, Jen, pick a number. We try to do it as official as possible with a random number. And E. Shriver says that she would pass out if all of a sudden her phone was ringing during the show. So Fam Farm says that she would cry too. We've had them cry, and oh, that's just so. And we've had the stories where, oh, we've been wanting a chicken coop. We need one so bad, and we can't afford one, and all. You know, it's really the stories that they share are absolutely fabulous with their excitement, their appreciation that they're winning this awesome coop from MyPetChicken.com. So we're very proud of that. And I think the next coop contest we're going to have is going to be. Well, hello, little man. He's just so excited. Yeah. Has he eaten lunch? What'd he have for lunch? Hey, no, this is Daddy's lunch. Yep, this is a family show. Hey. Yeah, he looked over at the couch and saw my chicken salad croissant sitting here, and you came a running. You wanted that, didn't you? Yeah, you want to say hi to everybody? Huh? They gonna get you. They gonna get you. Yep. Oh, my goodness. I know it. That's little Caleb. He's 15 months coming up. Well, I guess Saturday, I guess. He'll be, whenever the second is, he'll be 15 months old. And, boy, he's not just a walking, but he's a running. He's getting in. See you, buddy. Daddy loves you. All righty. They came in. Jen wanted to get her computer to continue on doing a little bit of work. And we tag team here. We wake up, me and Caleb, get them breakfast, go check the mail, head into town if we need to, hang out with everybody, play puzzles and build blocks and things like that. And then during my radio show, she kind of takes over and takes a break from her work. And then after the radio show, it's Daddy's turn. He'll nap for a little while till maybe 3 or 3:30, and then I'll take charge until the end of the day. And when Jen, so it's again, how blessed can you be for both of us to work at the home and work out of the house? And be able to pay our bills, but have some time with our lovely son and another one on the way. We're not sure if it's going to be a boy or a girl. I'm guessing we'll probably know sometime around Christmas when what it will be. And again, I'll be happy whether it's a boy or a girl. Those of you who have multiple kids know that right now, with him being, I guess, 15 months old, you're like, well, if it's a boy, then how easy is that? Same toys, same clothes, hand-me-down clothes, same room, everything's cool, very easy, know what to expect, you know, that type of thing. A little bit less expensive. Hey, all we need is diapers and wipes. Because we got plenty of clothes, got plenty of toys. Diapers and wipes, please. But if happens to be a little girl, well, then Daddy's going to have to go out and buy a few more guns for when she starts turning, 16. Actually, she doesn't know it yet, but 32. Oh, my goodness. That means different clothes, different toys, different room, different. Oh, my goodness. So, if we have we'll be blessed either way. We'll be happy, whatever. And people say that. And, you know, so, but if it's the toys, you're right. The toys don't have to be all that different. You're correct. Because, I look at the toys over there in the toy chest, and like I said, you know, we have about 5 toys that have batteries. The rest are, you know, we're not a big fan of that. You know what I can't find, though? I can't find it.
If somebody can find one and send it to me, I will reimburse you 100% as long as it's within reason and not some, expensive. I have been looking everywhere we go. I had one and I loved it, and but I can't find them, and that's a Jack in the Box. They don't even make them anymore. I have looked high and low, every big box store, every big box toy store, and I cannot find a Jack in the Box. I had one, born in 69, so I'm 43. It was a metal box, metal, not this plastic junk today, a metal box. I think it had, whatever pictures it had around it, and then a metal box on the right-hand side. It had literally a metal handle with a little wooden knob on it, and you twisted it, and you twisted it fast, and it played the music faster. You'd slow down, and it'd slow down, and then right at about that time, the metal lid with metal hinge popped open, and out came, I think it was a clown, and... circus pictures on the sides. Exactly. Maybe that was it. Circus pictures around the side, and then extra sharp metal edges. Probably did. And then I turned that thing so fast, the music would play. I see how fast the music could play. And all of a sudden, pop! This clown pops up right out of this metal tin box. Coolest thing, funniest thing, and I can't find one for nothing. So, and I've been looking. I said, is it something that's politically correct about a Jack in the Box? Is that why they don't make them anymore? Did somehow they deem that was not good, like dodgeball? Oh, can't play dodgeball anymore. That's not politically correct. Someone might get their feelings hurt. Does anybody know something about a Jack in the Box being bad for today's society? Hey, Honey Boo Boo is good, but Jack in the Box is bad. Okay, Honey Boo Boo is good, but dodgeball's bad. You know what? What's up with that? So if you can find a link to a Jack in the Box, if you can find one in a store and mail it to me, I'll reimburse you. But I cannot find one for anything, and I've been wanting a Jack in the Box. And for I may have to try eBay to see if I can find an old-fashioned one like I had. And someone said Amazon $23.99, and okay, I just saw that there in the chat room. I have to check. So clowns are scary, says Trish. Yeah, people do have kind of a fear of clowns. A lot of folks do. I've seen that and heard about that. But anyhow, okay. Someone just put the link in the for Amazon. Let's see. What in the hell is that? That's a hand crank music box. That's not a Jack in the Box. That's a hand crank music box. I don't want a music box. Okay, someone private messaged me with it. There we go. There you go. There's a little clown. There's one with a monkey. There's one with a rabbit. Okay, $23.99. I guess it's called Shilling Jack in the Box. I've got to get one of these because I can't find them anywhere. I love them. I didn't think about looking at Amazon. I thought about eBay. Never did think about really doing Amazon. And I can get, let's see, any of them shipped for free with my Prime, Amazon Prime membership. Probably not. They have all assortment. They got monkeys. They got a pink pony. They got a pig, Olivia the pig. They've got a horse. They got all kind of different creatures that pop out. But I want one more of a classic. I may have to get the Jack in the Box that pops out. Let me click on that one. Thanks for sending that to me. I know people are listening going, this guy's a nut. But, hey, Jack in the Box, you know, Lincoln Logs, Erector Sets, you know, cool things like that. No video games. And so, hey, that's pretty neat. Let's see. Yep, there it is. The metal handle coming out of the side with that little wooden knob. You twist it. It looks metal to me. Okay, I'm ordering this today. I can't have my kids grow up not knowing what a Jack in the Box is. So thank you very much, fans. That is awesome. Yeah, Lincoln Logs and the Erector Sets. And very, very, very cool. Yeah, I didn't see a chicken that popped out of the box. So, interesting. So, that'll definitely be a purchase here coming up for that. But anyway, so if it's a boy or girl, you're right. I guess the toys don't have to change too much. But, so yeah, we'll, whatever it may be. But if it is a girl, then that'll be just an excuse to get some more guns. Hey, Jen, she's going to start dating. And I don't think 23 guns is enough. I think I may need about 5 more. I got to have one by every door. And when boyfriend comes over, I'm going to have to be sitting here cleaning the guns, you know. And he's going to walk in, and I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? And fun stuff like that, yeah. So, anywho, dating. She'll be 32 when she starts dating. What am I talking about? So, anywho, thank you very much for that. I'll have to head over. And, yeah, Amazon has Erector sets, too, and I'm sure Lincoln Logs. Got to get all that kind of stuff. No video games in the house, no TVs, good educational stuff. So, but, anywho, hey, we're going to take a short commercial break, folks. Thanks for tuning in, tolerating us. Maybe the medication is making me go a little cuckoo for Jack in the Box, but I knew my fans would come through for me. So very, very, very good. Let's see. Yeah, we'll go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to welcome the Fam Farm on our Small Business Featuring Wednesday. Small Business Wednesday, we'll welcome the Fam Farm when we return after this short break. Hope you're having a fun day today. I am. We're going to come back. I got a special offer for you from the Fam Farm. They're going to tell us all about their farm and their products as soon as we come back. Stay with us, folks. Episode 700.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with Chicken Whisper. Got to get down the chicken salad on the croissant here during the commercial. Got a few grapes left over I can munch on during the show. What are you having for lunch today if it's lunchtime in your area? Just post it there in the chat room for all of us to see. You having some raviolis, maybe some organic SpaghettiOs. Maybe you're having some turkey sandwich, maybe a ham sandwich, maybe a salad, or maybe a Pop-Tart.
Just let us know what you're munching on there in the chat room. All right, let's get over here to the phone lines, and we're going to bring Megan on with the Fam Farm right now. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing? Can you hear me? Did I lose somebody? I can't hear me. Hello?
Hang on a minute. Give me just a second. This occasionally happens. All right, let me get a sound check in the chat room now. Sound check, sound check, sound check. Sound check, sound check. All righty, very, very good. Loud and clear. Okay, sometimes that happens. That happens every now. Let's go back over to the switchboard. And there we go. Megan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All righty, sweet deal. Sometimes it just happens occasionally. So, but we appreciate you joining us and wanting to come on our Small Business Wednesdays, and where we try to feature a small business that's related to the radio show, urban farming, gardening, sustainability, and of course, backyard chickens. So it is the Fam Farm, and people can find you on Facebook. Go ahead and tell us all the links where people can find you so they can go and check you out while we're talking about all the great things that you do.
We are on Facebook as The Fam Farm. We are also, we have thefamfarm.com and thefamfarm.webs.com, which goes into a little bit more detail than just thefamfarm.com. We have a blog that is not been updated in forever, that is thefamfarm.blogspot.com.
Okay.
But most of the pictures are posted on the Facebook page, The Fam Farm.
Okay, and Jessica's putting all those links in the chat room, and we thank you very much for doing that, Jessica. And you can obviously type faster than I can, and that's fabulous. We appreciate you. And your blog hasn't been updated in forever. I had one when I first started out maybe 4 or 5 years ago and just deleted it. I'm not a fan of them. Some people just absolutely, they live for blogs, don't like them. Mine never got updated. We had the Facebook, the website, the radio show. It was just one more thing that I had to do every day that I didn't think that was very significant. And so goodbye. I had to clean my plate a little bit, and it was gone. So not a blogger. It was almost, you know, just with everything else they were doing, it was insignificant, and it is absolutely gone on the wayside. So, and now you know that we have, we try to educate people on blogs and forums and to be very cautious about what they see. In fact, today I had posted on my Facebook page, you may have seen the Chicken Whisperer, where I had posted just a blog tip. And I put, next time you read a blog, and the information seems to be a lot more advanced than the experience of the blogger, then the post challenging where the information came from, and you can do yourself and other readers actually a favor. So, you know, if you're reading this thinking, are you kidding me? This person's only kept chickens for 2 years, and they're writing all of this like they're a PhD in poultry science, challenge it. Especially if they don't put where they got their information. So that's one thing I posted on our Facebook page. We will never, ever, ever, ever look stuff up on Google and then post it as our own. We just don't do that here. We don't pretend to be what we're not. We bring the experts on, and you can hear it right from them. But you've got a blog. You said it right there. It hadn't been updated in a long time. That's why we got rid of ours.
Been updated. Use it if it's too long to put as a Facebook status, then I might put it on the blog.
Yep.
But for the most part, the blog is inactive.
Cool.
So.
Cool. That's all that great stuff, and it's all been posted. And Critter Lover said Jessica has lightning fingers. Lightning fingers. I've heard that about Jessica before. So, at least when it comes to the keyboard posts. So, thank you very much, Jessica, for doing that. And so let's see what else. Tell us how it. First, the Fam Farm. Kind of interesting. Tell us. what does that really stand for? What's it all about?
We actually, it's a funny story. We tried for over a week to figure out a name. I did research. I looked up all different, like, how to properly name a company. Every name we had didn't work. And I pretty much was ripping my hair out trying to come up with the perfect name. And my husband came home from work at 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, and I just totally was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he goes, well, I'm going to go to bed. And he like 3 minutes later, I hear from the bedroom, why not just call it the Family Animal and More Farm and call it Fam Farm for short and leave it at that? And I didn't know whether to run in and hug him or to smack him because it came so easy to him. But he named it. We decided to go with that. We wanted a name we could grow into instead of something that limited us. And because we weren't just going to be specifically one thing or another, we wanted it to be wide, which is why the Family Animals and More Farm works. We include our family. My son is very active in everything we do. He's only 7, yet he can tell you a lot of stuff that some things you probably don't want a 7-year-old to know. We do try to keep it G-rated, but he's figured out the birds and the bees and stuff on his own. We have a lot of animals. We only own an acre, but we have, I think, over 60 animals on it. And they're not, and everybody gets concerned that we're animal hoarders and have all these animals in tiny little cages. No, all our animals are very happy. They have ample space to roam. We take a lot of time and we work really hard to make sure that none of our animals are suffering. We have the more is how we actually make our money to support the animals. We refuse to overbreed. We refuse to risk our animals' lives so that we can make the better dollar. And for that reason, we learned real quick that when you only breed your we started out breeding rabbits. When you only breed your rabbits twice a year, you can't pay for the food to keep the rabbits. And so we started doing the more, which is the laundry soap, the bar soap, and then the few craft items I do every now and again. So, and the dishwasher soap, that's actually how we pay to buy the animals' feed and to keep up with pens and everything.
Okay, so tell us about the a collection of animals you have there at the homestead.
We have I'll start off with our pigs. We have Skittles and Wilbur. Skittles is a rare, a red wattle. She is about a year old. She just had, she delivered 16 piglets, 10 of which survived. They are all now 6 weeks old and looking for new homes. Wilbur is a blue butt, which is a mix between a Hampshire and a Yorkshire. They are probably the largest animals we have on our farm, and we have kept them on a specific diet so that they don't get too big, because once a pig gets too big, they don't breed. And we got these two pigs so for the main purpose of breeding them. They are so sweet. They're like big old giant puppy dogs. We walk into their pen, and they come over, and they nuzzle their faces up to our legs, just like a dog will greet you when you get home. And when we scratch their tummies, they lay down and let us scratch them. And my husband loves it. He scratches Miss Skittle's ear, and she'll kick her foot like a dog does. And we just have the best old time with these pigs of ours. They're so sweet, and the babies they're coming up and greeting us, and they're. We joke we have the only Hampshire Wattle pigs that we know of. They both, because of the mixed breed, not one of the babies came out red, but we do have Hampshire and blue butt coloring on the babies, and a few of them have their mom's little wattles, and we just think it's the cutest thing ever. We have our chickens. We got... all our chickens have been rescued from, we had a friend who was running an egg production where they had over 100 chickens, and then they kind of dumped us with a pregnant dog, and they kept two of the puppies, and the puppies started eating all their chickens, and so they were getting ready to just send them all, you know, cull them all when we had a freak accident and a stray dog got all ours, and so they, we took all their chickens in. It's a mix, all different varieties. We only got 30, though, which was what was left of their 100 chickens after the puppies got them. And so we have those chickens. We took in 10 more from somebody else. And then we have our neighbor had a stray dog attack and kill one of his mama hens. And so he asked us if we could take on the 10 chickens that survived that. So we have those that are a couple months away from laying. And then we have our 4 turkeys. We have 6 goats. We did not go. Everybody gets concerned when we mention we have goats. We did not pick large breed goats. We got 4 Nigerian dwarfs and 2 mini La Manchas. They are all smaller in size, so they require less room. Most of them can be housed in a dog kennel. Our pen for them is a lot bigger than that, though. I don't think a dog kennel is big enough for practically anything. I think I might let a rabbit live in it. But we have a large area for them, and we have 3 that are in milk. One of those 3 we are letting dry up, though, because we've been milking her for almost a year, and we think it's time she has a break. And the other 2, we're weaning their babies off of them right now. They're about 4 months old, so we think it's time. And then we have the other 3 are babies, a little buck and then 2 little girls. And we have our 6 dogs, 3 of which we're currently trying to get rid of. And then the 3 we are keeping are Bessie, who is a Basenji that we got as a wedding present 9 years ago. Brandy, our St. Bernard, Great Pyrenees, who has kept the coyotes safely away from our yard, and we love her for that, and she will forever have a home with us because of that purpose right there. And then Red, our little red heeler, who we rescued as a puppy one day, and he has forever been a loyal guard dog for us, and we just love him. So we have 2 cats, a hedgehog, and I always feel like I'm leaving something out.
Pardon me.
Oh, we have a turtle, but he just lives out in a fish in our little horse trough. So,
gotta love it. So let's talk about some of how you all kind of got started with the business aspect. You know, hey, we're doing this for ourselves. I can make some extra. I can give it to the neighbors. Oh, and then the neighbors would may buy it, or my friends, or I can see if anybody. Tell us kind of start back at the beginning where you started kind of down the business end of the homestead.
We actually started, like I said, we first started with breeding rabbits. That's what I forgot. We have rabbits. But we first started breeding rabbits, and we realized that we weren't making enough money to buy the food. And so my husband, and at that same time, I started I tried a batch of my own of homemade laundry soap, because I looked at the store prices, and I was just not going to pay them. And so I went and a friend of mine had been doing it for a couple of years, and I talked to her and got some advice from her, and I made it. And that first week we had where our cat had been in a cat fight and had an injury to its ear, and we had to lock it up in our bathroom because it was the only way it couldn't run out and get into another fight and get sicker. And so while it was in there, though, it made a horrible mess of things because this cat did not want to be locked up in our bathroom, and it pretty much destroyed it. And so in the cleanup process, I realized how much stuff he had marked on, and I was very devastated because in years past we had had a cat that marked on everything and we could not get the smell out ever. And we tried all different laundry soaps, nothing worked. And so we, with the new laundry soap I had just made, I thought, well, I'll give it a try. It won't work, but at least I know I tried before I threw all this stuff out because I'm not going to walk around wearing clothes that smell like cat spray. And so I washed it, and when I pulled it out, I held it away from my nose and sniffed a little, and suddenly I realized I didn't smell the smell anymore. And I, at one point, I had it, like, my face fully engulfed in this cat bedding that had been totally covered and stinky, and it didn't smell. And I was like, honey, you got to smell this. And he thought that I was trying to get him to smell something stinky, so, of course, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall for that again. But he did the from away and then closer, and next thing you know, his face is fully in this cat bed, and it didn't stink. And I was so excited that I called up my friend and told her that it didn't, that it got the smell out. And she didn't believe me. And so she asked me if I would mail her some. She lived in Idaho. She asked if I could mail her some because she didn't believe that there was a laundry detergent that could get the smell of cat spray out of the laundry. And she's been having where her cat would spray on all her kids' bedding. And she's like, I'm tired of throwing it away. So mail me some and let's, and I want to try and see if it works. And so I mailed it to her, and she tried it, and she calls me up, and she goes, you have to sell it. And I said, I'm not going to sell it. And she goes, you have to. And the, you know, the conversation went on, and finally I started asking around, and that's how it got started, is her telling me, you have to, or I will come down there and beat you up. And so... And so that's how it got started, all because of a cat that got mad at me and sprayed all over my bathroom. We then went, we then found some recipes for homemade dish detergent, and we played around with those, and we started making that and realized that that had a, I have to be honest, Chicken Whisperer, I am not a cat fan either. But our cat is cute, and it was either cats or mice, and so we chose the cat.
Yeah, but if I was to ever, ever, ever get one, it would be an outside cat, and we would have it fixed one way or the other, and just, you know, that type of thing. So not.
Yeah, we did get him fixed the following week. But we had to wait. The vet wouldn't. That's why we had to keep him locked up. The vet wouldn't fix him until his ear was healed. His ear got so infected that when it healed with a crook in it. And so, but this was when we lived in town. We don't live in town anymore. But that was when we lived in town. And we decided that we would just stick with the soap and the rabbits for then, and we had set out a 5-year plan, and in 5 years we were going to buy 5 acres and move out to the country and actually start the homestead that way. And that's when our landlord called up and told us that she couldn't afford to make the house payment anymore. She had gotten behind, and she was trying to sell the house, and we could either buy it or we could leave. And knowing we had 3/4 of an acre at that time, we had a decent amount of land, but I knew that I wanted more. And with the location of the house we were at that time, we realized that if we bought it, we would never get out of it. And that's not where we wanted to be. The town had so many strict laws and regulations concerning animals that we didn't, I told my husband, as much as I liked the house and as much as I did like that we were in the middle of everything, I was not going to stay there. And so we started looking outside of town, and my mom offered to help us with a down payment of a house, and instead of taking out a mortgage, We used the money she offered as the down payment, and we bought an acre of land. We bought the house. We drilled a well, and we set in a septic, and we did all that with the money she offered as a down payment.
Smart move.
For a house. And so we have We bought it all, paid it all cash, and we only owe her, which is nice in a way because we don't have to worry about we do have to make payments to her, but we don't have to worry about her foreclosing on us if we're 3 months late. So that has allowed for some freedom of being able to do what we want. We're not restricted by a city ordinances. We actually live 25 miles from the nearest town, which is a bit of a commute. There's a small town, but the town that actually has stuff in it is 25 miles away. And we've just set up our own little home. We've lived here for a year now, and we still need to do a few more things before we're open to the public for regular visits and stuff. But for right now, we're feeling like we're doing pretty good.
Fabulous.
We've gotten quite a ways, quite a lot more accomplished than we thought we would in the first year.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about, now kind of go down specifically all the products for our listeners, because towards the end of the show, we've got a special deal for everybody that we'll be posting on Facebook and Twitter a little later as well. But let's kind of go down specifically the different products you have available for all of your customers.
Okay. We have our laundry soap, which is what we started out with. It's simple. You've mentioned this before when you've done the giveaways. We use a particular bar of soap, which I won't mention which one we use. All the ingredients are listed, but we started out first with store-bought, which is the original. We have I just drew a blank. We use the borax and the washing soda in it. When we originally started out, we were buying all our supplies from Walmart. We have since contracted with a local distributor, and we now get all our supplies from there. My goal is to completely eliminate trips to Walmart in the future. I want to go small business, just like you doing your small business shows. We're trying more small business. But the laundry soap, getting sidetracked, the laundry soap is all natural, all the ingredients. We've made it a point to research them all. We list them all. We have left out harmful things that most, if you're buying an all-natural cleaner in the store, if you don't look, they often include sodium lauryl sulfate, which most people don't realize that actually is, it's considered safe, but when you do your research, it's not as safe as people want you to think. They use it to clean up the oil spills because it breaks up oils, and your skin needs oils on it, or it gets super dry. And just little things like that, I think that's what makes ours stand out a little different than the normal all-natural, is because we don't just say it's all-natural. We actually have ensured that it's all-natural. We are now starting to work to make another laundry soap where we will use the bars of soap we produce at the homestead in the laundry soap, but until we perfect that recipe, we will still be offering the original one that we use, the store-bought soap. We've recently started making and selling the goat's milk soap, which we use I guess I should have mentioned how much we sell the laundry soap for. We sell the laundry soap by the load. You can get 64 loads for $8, and we ship it right to your door using USPS flat rate shipping for $5.35. We also have the dishwashing detergent. You can get a 32 load for $5 of the laundry soap and then ship it with a 32 load of the dishwashing detergent. and that will ship to your house for $5.35. You can order it off the web page, or you can email me, and we can arrange. We can arrange what works. We try to ship. Because we ship, we like to keep the cost down, and so we try to make sure that everything ships in the flat rate box, whether it be a small or a medium or a large box. And by emailing me, we can discuss just what will fit so that you're not paying twice as much to ship it just to get an extra bag. We've had where they've PayPal messed up and it ended up, it was going to cost us three times more to ship it outside of the prepaid box than it was to ship it with the prepaid box, which is why we encourage people to email us when they're placing the order rather than just placing the order so that we can work out all those details. How does that
price compare 64 loads of laundry detergent with, say, a 64, not getting into the chemicals, say, in Tide or Gain or something, or Cheer or whatever they use, not going through that. We've already talked about yours being all natural versus the chemicals and some of the other store-bought. But how does the price 64 loads for, I think you said, $8, $8-something, how does that factor in with 64 loads of the store-bought?
I know that for when I was doing, like, the price checks, while we were pricing our products, we went and looked at a bunch of different stores. We found Tide at Walmart was $11 for 40 loads. And the box that you got it in was bigger than the 64 loads that we sell. We only use one tablespoon per load is all that is required for ours because we don't have the extra fillers and all the extra stuff that doesn't do anything but build up in your washing machine.
Yeah, I have a bad habit, and I'm guilty of this. Whether we get yours or we make our own, Jen's made our own in the past, and you know the directions say, hey, one tablespoon or whatever it may be, and I'm guilty. I raise my hand of always putting a more in there, thinking, oh well, I worked in the garden a lot this load, and I got some stains or it's dirty my knees where I bent down and we're picking this or that, or I sweated a lot on my walk, so I'm going to use a little bit more. So. With us, she'll say, oh, I made, you know, 160 loads of detergent. Oh, it's all right there in the shoebox above the. And, of course, it ends up lasting us, you know, 80 loads because of me. So I have to get more. I need to actually get a tablespoon measurer instead of the one that we've got.
I would have shipped one to you when I shipped you your goat's milk, though.
I can make sure that, okay, this is really all I need, Andy, just this little bit right here. That's why we're making our own, so we can, you know, save money and get no chemicals. And, you know, more is not always better. So,
No. We say one or two on really, like, if you're trying to get the smell of cat urine out, we suggest you use two, or for real bad DO, you use two. But three is pushing it because when the clothes come out smelling like the product you're washing it in, like the laundry soap, it's only because it's building up on your clothes, and your clothes aren't going to last as long if they have a bunch of soap buildup.
Yep, that's great.
So you want to use less because it helps your clothes to last longer. So, yes, you need to get a tablespoon and measure it out, not just guess. Even though I admit that I do usually use a little bit more sometimes, too. But we soak them. Yes, I actually have begun soaking some of our clothes, Poet's wife. Or we like to, with the really, like if we've been out in the garden and the clothes are completely covered in dirt, we will run them through on a rinse cycle and then run them again. So there's so many different ways other than just to increase the soap, because really the increasing the soap doesn't always do the better job. Sometimes you're hurting it more than you're helping it, because then you come out, your clothes come out, and they're still covered with soap. So, but we do love the homemade soap because it only requires one tablespoon instead of all the extra. We have a very, like Andrew Odom on Tiny Living, mm-hmm. we have very limited space. We to preserve so that we had more room for our animals, we moved a single wide trailer and are trying to fit everything, including all the business supplies, into said single wide trailer. And so we don't have a big laundry room where we can store a bunch of 5 gallon buckets full of laundry soap. We like that it's very compact and lasts a long time. So we like to keep things small as can be. We have, I'll mention the dishwashing detergent. The dishwashing detergent for your automatic dishwashers. You don't use that because you don't have a dishwasher, last I remember you saying.
Yeah, we don't.
But we do. I actually use my dishwasher way too much. But we have it. We make it. It includes some, it includes like the washing soda and the borax. It does not have a bar of soap in it. It, though, a lot of people get a little concerned. We put rice in ours, and they wonder if that's going to clog their pipes. The rice is there so that it doesn't become a big, hard rock. But when it's in the washing machine, the rice absorbs the water, and it breaks up, and it goes right down your pipes, clean as can be. As long as your washing machine, your dishwasher is working correctly, there should not be a problem with the rice going through it. My husband likes to point out he was the biggest skeptic when it came to our homemade stuff because he did not think there was any way that making it at home would work as good as the store-bought. And so when I was doing all my research, it turns out, and I didn't find this out till later, he was researching all the reasons not to use it so that when I would tell him a benefit, he could tell me a negative. And it backfired because as he was researching all these reasons not to use it, he ended up finding that there wasn't any. And before long, he started pointing out the positive reasons that I never even would have thought about because he was looking up. He was afraid when we moved, we got a septic, and he was really afraid. He kept telling me about how we were having to get Riddex. Megan, we're going to have to buy Riddex. And I'm like, why? And he goes, because once a month you have to put Riddex in your septic system or your septic system builds up and then you have to pay costly repairs. And I remember him obsessing about this, and I was really concerned because I just could imagine this. I could imagine it being in the middle of the night, him waking up and having me go put Riddex in the toilet because he didn't do it that day, and suddenly the toilets are going to explode or something. He seemed really obsessed with this, and we moved in and we got the septic, and suddenly he never mentioned it, and I kept bringing up, well, do we need to buy the Riddex yet? Do we need to buy the Riddex yet? And he said, no, it's not time yet. It's not time. And then finally he confessed. He said, we don't have to buy it. And I said, why not? And he goes, because of the laundry soap you use and your dishwashing detergent. It does the job for us. When you use, like, Tide in your washing machine, it is safe for your septic. But when it gets into the septic, it kills all the good, healthy bacteria that breaks down everything that's in the septic system. And so that's when you have to add the Riddex, because then the Riddex is actually the good bacteria. I think he calls it Riddex. I don't know what exactly it is. But if you have a septic, you might know what I'm talking about. He wrote me notes. It says it's biological enzymes to help break down the waste. And the soap, though, when you use the homemade detergent, it does not kill those enzymes that are in the septic tank already. And so you don't have to add extra. So it's like you get two for the price of one when you use you get two for the price of one because you're saving the money, first of all. I just caught what you put on the face on the chat room. I need to close my computer because it's distracting me. You don't have to pay to add enzymes to your septic, and you're saving money because the price of our products are usually half of what the store products cost. And even when you include shipping, we try to make it so even when shipping is included, you're still paying less than you would pay in the store for the product it compares to. When we were in the testing period, we mailed a lot out and to friends and had them try it on their laundry. Almost every time they came back and said it washes just as good, if not better, than Tide. And so we often compare it to Tide because that's what everybody else was comparing it to. And so, anyhow, that's why I keep bringing up Tide. But we, it's great for your septic for that reason. A lot of people are concerned because they have well water, which we have well water too. He looked into it. The washing soda is actually a water softener in itself, and so it, if you have hard water or well water, the washing soda breaks that down while it's in the washing machine and washing your clothes, and so that's how it helps and is safe to use with that. And it, because you only use a tablespoon per load, or in your case, Andy, two or three, you're still not using the half a cup that the Tide requires you to use. And when we've had where we talked to some repairmen who pointed out that the all that soap does is it builds up in your washing machine. And it builds up in the if you've ever had an older washing machine and it smells. I know a lot of people have complained to me about the smell of their washing machines. Go to a laundromat, take a nice big smell of what the interior of their washing machine smell like, and I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just a mildewy, ucky, old smell to it. All the soap.
We never had that problem until we got the front loads. We've had for years, as long as I've been alive, the top load washer, and of course, I guess it was the front load dryer. They've always been kind of front load, I guess.
Yeah.
But then when we moved here, we didn't specifically care whether we got top load or front load, but the space requirements in this old farmhouse with the added bathroom, which I think was 10 by 10 or 10 by 11, and we had to have the tub, the two sinks, the toilet, I mean, the design that we got, the only way we could incorporate was if we had stackables. And the stackable traditional ones, just the capacity is not there whatsoever, and they're just not designed real well for ease of use. So that was one reason why we got the front loads. Number one, they were super, super running an awesome sale at Lowe's at the time when we were in the market. But now we've got two good capacity front loads that are stackable versus that old fashioned kind of stackable stuff that was horrible. So we do have that issue. That rubber seal or that rubber piece that goes all the way around the door always gets a little mold on it, a little mildew, and I constantly, probably about it twice a month, I'll run a load of Clorox bleach through, and then I'll run in to flush the bleach out, and for regarding odors, I'll flush some apple cider vinegar through it, or just vinegar through it as well after the Clorox, too, to flush the Clorox out. To make sure, and then also to help with the odors and then the bleach to get everything else done. So not a huge fan of front loaders. We have them just because of really of our necessity of space requirement and wanting a decent size washer dryer that would stack, and that was what was presented to us. But I know all about that, what you're talking about.
Yeah. Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely. That's what the show's
all
about.
Don't close the door. The reason the front loads get stinky is because they're completely sealed, and when you pull your clothes out, there's still water in the washing machine, and you close the door and seal it, and so it can't dry out.
That makes complete sense. The only problem is that
you have a little kid that's going to climb up in it.
Well, that being OCD and walking in the bathroom, seeing the door open, it just shouldn't be open. It should be closed, and then I'm not sure if it. No, it opens the right way where we would be able to open the bathroom door. So if we did leave it open.
Anyhow, that's the simple fix is leaving. Not you don't even have to leave it all the way open. Just leave it cracked so that it's not sealed. So that way it can dry out. You can also, have you ever tried just running an empty load without the bleach, just the cleaner?
Just
the laundry, your homemade laundry soap.
No.
Because that's actually what we do.
Okay.
Is we, and we don't have a front loader right now, but when we were testing out some things, we just ran it. You put a tablespoon in and you just run it just regular, and it washes out all that mildew and rinses it down the pipe. And with HE washing machines, we found this out the hard way. Our washing machine is, it took a big, the transmission went out. That's what everybody's laughing now. That is exactly what the repairman called it, the transmission. And it went out because we never, we didn't rinse it out enough. With HE washing machines, they don't use enough water to rinse their pipes clean. And yes, our soap does not build up, but the dirt still does, because we literally will come in caked with dirt and put it in our washing machine. It started to build up, and we did not realize that we had to run it empty. And so all the dirt built up on the inside of the well, and they and then eventually it got so built up that it couldn't spin, and it burned out the transmission, is what the repairman said. And so you're supposed to run it once a week, empty, just to flush the pipes and of the dirt and stuff. For most people, you don't get as dirty as we do, and so you probably can do it once every other week. But he was telling me that with the buildup in ours, he thought my husband worked in the oil field because ours had so much buildup. And we do a lot of outside work, and we have a 7-year-old that thinks he's a pig and can just roll out in the mud and then come in and throw his clothes in the washing machine. So we have a lot of buildup in ours. No mud loads will really help. Yes. Occasional hot water and washing clothes that aren't caked in mud would help to flush out the pipes too. But it's an issue with, it is a big issue with your HE washing machines, because they do use less water. You are supposed to just rinse them out, run it empty. And that's why they have the wash, most of them have a cycle specifically set for washing your machine out nowadays, if that makes sense. But instead of using the bleach, you can just use your homemade laundry soap, and it should get rid of the smell too. And then that's less bleach in your septic, which bleach is very harmful to your septic system.
Okay, interesting. So we've talked about, I think, the dishwasher soap and the laundry soap, but you also have the goat's milk soap.
We also have the goat's milk soap. We had a surprise delivery. We did not know that one of our goats was pregnant when we bought her. And we came home one day, and she had delivered the baby, and it was alive. We then put our St. Bernard Great Pyrenees dog Brandy in the goat pen to go to sleep, because she would sleep with them at night and keep them safe. And we don't know what happened, but when we went back out to check on them, the baby had passed. Brandy somehow is great with the adult goats. I think she tried to play with the baby as a puppy, and was a little too rough, and she was trying to kiss it better, and it was just so heartbreaking. But then at that point, we had a goat that had udders full of milk and nothing to do with it. We milked her, and we drank it, and we ate, you know, we consumed it, but she was producing more than we were accustomed to consuming, and we started freezing it, and it started building up. And suddenly I found myself posting on Facebook going, what do I do with goat's milk? And a friend suggested goat's milk soap, which we had thought about, but I didn't know if I was really ready. I got to talking. Another friend wanted to do it, and so we got together, and we started making this goat's milk soap. We loved it, and just like with the laundry soap, we decided it was worth selling. We don't want to sell a product that doesn't work, so we tried it out beforehand. excuse me, I still have a cough. We went through a lot of different recipes before we tried it. My son and me both have very sensitive skin, and so we are very cautious about the amount of ingredients we use, because we want to know if there is a reaction. We want to know, be able to narrow it down to like the top five ingredients, or not just not have to go through a big long list. And so we found a recipe we really like that only calls for the goat's milk, the lye, the olive oil, and the coconut oil. And so we went with that. We really like it. Oh, and it has tallow in it. We really like that recipe. While we were making it one day, my friend who was helping me make it suggested that we do the, she wanted to try a Castile soap. And so that's when we started doing the Castile soap. And we decided to sell it at our local farmer's market. While we were there, everybody started mentioning their grandma's lye soap. And we started hearing so much about this lye soap that grandma used to make. I myself was not raised around my grandma, so I, every time they would bring it up, I thought, boy, did I miss out on something? But we started researching it, and we developed our own lye soap recipe. And so we now produce the goat's milk soap, the Castile soap, and the lye soap. We are in the process of trying to formulate goat's milk shampoo and a goat's milk body wash, which will hopefully be on the market within the next 6 months. Depending on a few, we're still holding out for a few other conditions, but we're hoping to have it on the market in the next 6 months, if not sooner. And all our soap supplies come from a local distributor. He's really nice. He also, on top of special ordering, he never used to carry a few of the supplies we use. He didn't carry because there wasn't much interest in it. He has since started carrying them just for us, and that making them available to others. And we teach a soap making class for laundry soap and the dishwashing detergent. We teach it at his shop every so often, if anybody is in the East Texas area and wants to attend. You can email me for more details about that. I did I'm trying to not be distracted by the chat room. As for the prices of our soap, our goat's milk soap, because we make it all, I actually make it all by hand. We milk the goats by hand. The only machine I use is my stove and my little handheld mixer to make it. We charge about $5 for a 3 ounce bar, but most of our bars are not exactly 3 ounces. It varies. Because we put it in a big mold and then we just cut it up. So if you, that's another reason why if you're going to order the soap, you need to just send me an email. We can discuss the different size bars. We can discuss the different varieties. For all our soap, we use essential oils. We do not currently use artificial synthetic scent. If you are dead set on getting it in that, we have our supplier can provide us with those, but we do not market it as that. You would have to special order it, and to special order, you have to pay 50% up front, and then the rest right before we ship it, and you would have to pay for the whole batch, not just a couple bars. But we do special orders, and it takes, we use, for all our soaps, we use cold process, which means it takes at least 3 weeks to cure. So if you're going to make a special order, don't wait till the weekend before you need it. If you're interested in buying soap for your family for Christmas, then email us now so we can start working out the details. I know you'll have it way before Christmas, but trust me, waiting till December to tell me you want to get lavender soap for your cousins is not really going to work for me to make an entire batch of lavender soap. Our soap, we do not claim any medical for our soap. Like, we won't tell you that our soap is going to cure your acne. But we do use therapeutic grade essential oils, not just smell good oils. We use, so there is a chance, but we don't make the promise. But it is better than, that's where our soap is one notch above the normal homemade soaps. Most of them just go and get cosmetic grade oils, and we use therapeutic grade oils. So ours are, ours have that, just that little bit better.
Okay. What better quality? Yeah, better, you know, for that. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Tell us, now we've got a discount that we're going to share with all of our listeners today. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here a little bit. We've got about 5 more minutes. But there's a discount for all of our listeners. We'll be posting on Facebook after the show as well, that can be applied towards anything that you offer, the goat's milk soap, hand soap, the washing detergents, the laundry detergent, just about everything. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. They can use it on anything. They can even use it on a special order.
And tell
if
us
they wanted to.
Tell us what that special is going to be.
It's 25% off.
Okay, 25% off, which is a great, great deal, because we already know the prices are very reasonable. No chemicals.
Yes,
homemade, small business, right there on the homestead, delivered to your front door. Very cautious about, you know, making sure they can get everything you order, hopefully, in one or two of the flat rate boxes, so you don't have to pay exorbitant shipping. And plus, on top of all that, 25% off. So I know you posted in the chat room, but tell our listeners and the ones that are going to listen to the archive that want to take advantage of this, get some all natural stuff for their family from a small business at 25% off. How do they order?
Email me. Email me at thefamfarm@gmail.com. You can go to our web pages and you can contact us via that. But in short, just email me and we can work out all the details. It's just, like I said, it's easier that way. That way we can get it to what works for you. If you want to order a bunch of stuff, but there is a price you can't go over, like somebody emailed me and said, this is what I'm interested in, but I can only pay, I don't want to spend more than $60. Well, by the time I got their package ready, they were getting 3 times as much stuff as they thought they would ever be able to get. And I remember her just being so excited, because I was shipping her over 300 loads of laundry soap, and she thought that 5 bars of soap and a 36-ounce bag was going to cost $60. So be honest with me, and I can work with what you have. I'm all about doing what's right for the customer, and so we love to work with our customers. And yes, occasionally it takes a bit, like you'll get a couple emails from me, and then what I do is, once all the details are worked out and I know exactly what you want, I will then get on PayPal and I will do an invoice on PayPal, and I will ship you, I will email you the invoice on PayPal, and then you pay PayPal so I don't ever have to deal with your credit card numbers or anything like that. PayPal does that, and then I ship it. I usually ship it the next day, the day after you pay me. We print off your shipping label and we send it. So you get it within, I think, didn't you get your package about 3 days later?
It was, yep. And of course, we're in a rural area, so it's got to go through Atlanta, then it's got to go through Macon, then it's actually so there's a few extra stops since we're in such a rural area. But yeah, we got it here very quick.
We just email me and we can work out all the details. It's pretty easy. I mean, I'm an easygoing person.
Unless we got thefamfarm@gmail.com. 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 And very good. Jessica says she got her package in 48 hours from the time it was mailed, 2 days. So very, very quick there. And 25% off if you use the tell them you heard about it on the or from the Chicken Whisper, both Facebook or the radio show, and thefamfarm@gmail.com.
And make sure to include that you heard it from the Chicken Whisper, or I'll just assume you're emailing me for some other reason.
There you go. And 25% off on your entire order. For that. So awesome, very much. Thank you very much for joining us, Megan. Great products. In fact, we give them away here every week on the Chicken Whisper Show on our Fun Fridays, and we'll be doing that again this Fun Friday. We'll have another prize package from the Fam Farm that we'll be giving away. So I know some of our fans have used it and have really liked it, and you can post in the chat room as well how awesome her products are. So very, very cool. And thank you very much for joining us today. We
thank
appreciate
you, for
you coming
having
on. Us. Absolutely, and thank you for being a long-time listener and a regular in the chat room. We do appreciate it. We'll be back right after this.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning. All at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Snap Lock Chicken Coops, the American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. Snap-lock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. so spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit snaplockchickencoops.com. Also available at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. That's going to wrap up another great show. We thank Megan coming on from the Fam Farm, telling us all about her products and the great deal, 25% off. If you mentioned you heard it from the Chicken Whisperer, how cool is that? Fast shipping, and again, if you want to order some things for Christmas, you might want to go ahead and get your order in now, especially if it's going to end up being a special order. You know, goats only make so much milk, and they only make it so much at a time, and then it takes time to cure in the whole nine yards. So, hey, if you want the great stuff, great stocking stuffers for, you guessed it, the Christmas season. Alrighty, hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow for another Thursday episode. It's time for another Hall's Cough Drop. For another Thursday episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And we'll be here this Friday for Fun Friday. We have tons of prizes to give away and lots of fun trivia, just like we had last Friday. So we hope you can tune in. We hope you have a fabulous, fabulous day. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.